G'day everyone. We want to give you a little bit of a tour of what the cafe looks like at the moment. Bit of an update. We'll turn the camera around so that you can see what's going on. Here we go.
So coming inside here, we've got our coffee bar here at the front, which we've done the colour theme of dark green to match the green on the leaves of our logo. Over this side, we'll have some dining area, and in the corner there where the green paint is, we're going to have a little gift shop where we'll sell some local artisans' goodies, their crafts and things. And then over this side, behind the bar, we've got some bench seating area where we're going to put some cushions and some coffee tables and make a little cozy hangout zone. Then this is our kitchen back here. We deliberately chosen to have windows there so that customers can see into the kitchen, and also our staff can see each other as they're working as well, which hopefully will promote teamwork. Then coming out of the kitchen, we have got a little storage room under the stairs. This is where we'll hide our gas bottles and water gallons and things like that. And then in front of that storage room, we've got a work from cafe space where people can set up their laptops and, enjoy a cup of coffee while they do some work. And then can't forget, last but not least, every cafe needs a bathroom. So we've just had the bathroom retiled as well. So it's a nice new space too, which we're really happy with how that's turned out. We're just really thankful with how things are turning out for the cafe, and we can't wait to show you more.
We're absolutely busting to get in and start loving people in this space. We would dearly love to get the cafe open before the end of September this year. The sooner we can open, the sooner we can begin our new ministry in here. Whilst the renovation stage is just about complete, we are still financially a long way off being able to open. We still have a lot of equipment to buy. We've got ovens, fridges, blenders, servingware, and furniture, and much, much more. As well as this, the startup capital for purchasing supplies and for staff wages. This is where we need your help. Firstly, as always, we need your prayers. Please pray that the remaining renovations and interactions with contractors and tradesmen that we've been working with so far will continue to go well. Please pray for the staff recruitment process, that our Father would lead us to the right people, people of peace, that we can work with and that share our vision. Please pray for financial provision for all the things that we need. Please pray that we will be able to find good secondhand equipment and great sales, and all great sales on new equipment. Please pray that this kingdom business would be both financially sustainable and have, above all, a great impact for His kingdom's sake. Secondly, we'd love to ask you for your financial support. Would you consider personally donating to the cafe project? Or perhaps you could head up a fundraising campaign on our behalf. We truly appreciate each and every gift. If there's a specific piece of equipment that you'd like to purchase for the cafe, please do not hesitate to contact us, and we can give you the details on what is needed and how you can be involved.
Thank you to everyone who has been continuing to pray for us over all this time. We are really thankful for your commitment to bring us before Father. And to those of you who have already given generously to this project, we want to say a special thank you to you. Without you, we wouldn't be up to where we are now. So thanks again, and God bless you all.
Good morning. It is so good to be here, because Tent Hill has some good memories for Leanne and I. We didn't meet here or anything, but it's almost 30 years ago. I was a youth pastor at Stafford Heights, and we did a exchange. Must have been 94 or 95, and some of the no longer young people at Stafford Heights still talk about the great weekend we had here and you guys when you came up to the city. So, yeah, good memories, and that's what life is about, isn't it? About good memories, but it's wonderful when those memories in a person's life revolve around what God has done for us. And I'm sure each of us have got a testimony about that as well. So it's good to be back at Tent Hill. And thank you. And I thank Aaron for the invitation. When Aaron asked if I'd come and speak, I wanted to share, obviously, about Baptist Mission Australia, particularly the relationship that you have with Daz and Bea over in Southeast Asia, and to say thank you to you for supporting them so faithfully. They are an incredible couple. They really are. Humble, but very, very effective in what they're doing. I visited there and them earlier this year, and it was just great to see them. It's the second time I've been over there, and to see the way in which they have grown in their relationship with God and are stretching out and doing some quite difficult things, well above, over and above, learning culture and language and living in a different world and all that sort of stuff. But really having an impact. And then more recently, as you're probably aware, as they both suffered through dengue fever, and I'll talk about that in a moment. But I thought we could think about, I think on Sunday mornings you've got to open God's Word. That's more important than anything else. And this is a story that you may well be very familiar with. You may have heard this in Sunday school when you were a child, and, oh, not again. But it's funny because here is a woman who went to a well, but the water was useless. It's funny, isn't it? We dig wells, we build dams, we save water desperately sometimes. And then Jesus said, well, it's pretty temporary. And I guess you know that better than anybody. But this is a wonderful thing, because this encounter of Jesus with this lady at the well is a true story. And it shows how Jesus literally impacts people's lives. And I think that's where it really has a mission theme, because that's what we're about in Baptist Mission Australia. Getting alongside people, very simple ministry. Getting alongside people, learning their language and the culture, and prayerfully seeking people of peace. People whose God's Spirit is already working in, unbeknownst to us. And God has a destiny for their life. But if somebody doesn't tell them and introduce them to Jesus, how are they ever going to meet Jesus? And Baptist Mission Australia goes to those very places around the world where less than 10% of the people have ever heard about Jesus. You're probably familiar with the story. And that's why we started at verse 16, because otherwise it's a really long Bible passage. But you'll remember in John 4, John talks about how Jesus was travelling from Jerusalem down in the south of Israel up to the area that he came from around the Sea of Galilee up north, and he decided to take a shortcut going through the area of Samaria, which was in between. It's the most direct route. Normally they'd have to go east across over the mountains down to the Jordan River and then follow the road up the Jordan River and then turn west and come back into Galilee. Or you could go straight through Samaria. But of course, Samaria wasn't a really popular place. About as popular as Palestinians are today in Israel. The Samaritans were like a half-caste group of people. Some Jewish background and then pagan other background after the people went to Babylon back in the Old Testament. And for that reason, the Jews and the Samaritans didn't get on. And often happens in the world today. And they had religious differences as well as ethnic differences. So Jesus and his friend, Jesus is quite unusually to go through that area. And the normal wants of men They were going through a village called Saika, and it was Unstong. And it's about a 70-kilometre journey, so it takes a couple of days to walk it. So the disciples decided to stop in the village. It was lunchtime. They'd go in and get a bite. Jesus, for whatever reason, we now know why, decided to stay at the well. And the well was usually outside the village, and allowed that to happen so that travellers could come and get water without having to come into the village, and the village could maintain its security. So Jesus stayed outside while the disciples went into town. And about midday, the hottest time of the day, this lady comes out to pick up some water. And that's the problem. Probably she wasn't seen to be a lady in the town. So she comes to draw water, and she is conspicuous because nobody else does it then. They'd always do it in the cool of the morning or the cool of the evening. And Jesus spoke to her. Now, one of the things that Baptist Mission Australia intercultural workers have to do at times is break local cultural traditions in the name of Jesus. So there's a risk to that, particularly in countries that are Buddhist and Muslim and Hindu, where in some of those countries it's actually illegal to share your faith. You can't go out and what we call proselytise. You can't go and stand on a street corner and speak out. Often, though, those countries will allow, if the local people talk to you and ask you questions, you have every right to answer those questions. That's often the way it happens. But Jesus went even further because he actually spoke to her. So he broke a number of cultural rules. A man speaking to a lady, particularly an unaccompanied lady, is still a no-no in Middle Eastern countries. But then Jesus, a Jew, speaks to a Samaritan woman. He's breaking all the rules. I think it's wonderful how God, through Jesus, so often broke the rules that were set up. Jesus often did that. You know, when he walked on water, he broke all the rules of science and physics. You can't do that, but Jesus could. When he divided up the loaves and the fish, you can't do that, but Jesus did. He broke all the rules in order to show that he was who he said he was. And the woman later realises that actually this is Messiah. This is somebody very special. So Jesus did these things in talking to the lady, breaking the local cultural rules, but they got a conversation going nonetheless. So he asked her for a drink. And then he says, using the water and probably the cup that he was holding, just got her to stretch her mind a little bit, saying, you come out here every day, the hottest time of the day, to get your water. I can offer you something far better than that. And that probably got her ear. Oh, what's going on here? You're going to put plumbing into my house, or what's going to happen? And he says, no, I can offer you something called living water. Only Jesus can offer that to her. And of course, he was referring to this water in our lives that brings real satisfaction. And I know all of us have at times been in a situation where we're really thirsty on a hot day, and there is nothing better than cool water. It's just got a very special taste to it, hasn't it, when you're thirsty. What is the water that Jesus offers that brings that real satisfaction? It's not a satisfaction that comes out of possessions or power or even friendships, the people you know. It's even deeper than that. The world around us and the people that you know, the people that you work with, the people that you live amongst in your community, they may be struggling for that living water through possessions or through power and politics or through friendships. But we know, probably because of our own experience and relationship with Jesus, that they will never be satisfied. Because the satisfaction is knowing that God loves us and accepts us. He forgives us of all that we do wrong, and he has a unique plan for each of our lives. Isn't that awesome? The God of the universe knew that we were going to exist before the dawn of time and has a plan for each of us. So we pick up the story in verse 16. So Jesus has been talking to her, builds his conversation, and he says, go and call your husband. Well, that really put her on the back foot. Now, we don't know whether, obviously, the man that she was living with was a de facto relationship. The others may have been quite legal marriages, or she could have been one that was a bit of a flirt around the town. We don't know. But immediately she says, I have no husband, because he's a stranger anyway, so that sort of shuts down the conversation. She says, Jesus opens up the conversation again and says, well, actually, no, because the guy you're living with, hang on, how did you know that? Who did you speak to in the town that would tell you that? Well, nobody told me that. I knew that. You've had five husbands before this guy. And so she counters that quite naturally and says, by changing the subject, and let's get on to a bit of religion here, because she says, don't talk about me, you must be a prophet. So she starts to butter him up. And then she starts to give a bit of a religious answer. People do this, don't they, when you speak? They duck and weave sometimes in the conversation when you start speaking about things. Great way at a party to close down the conversation is to say, I'm a Christian. Suddenly it all goes deathly quiet or something. So often we don't say that. Well, maybe that's appropriate not to say it. In fact, I don't tell many people I'm a Christian at all. Instead, I say, I follow Jesus. Because I don't know what people's ideas of the word Christian means. If I'm talking to a Muslim, it looks very different to a person if I was speaking to you about being a Christian. And in the countries in which Baptist Mission Australia works, that's often the case, because Christianity is seen to be a Western religion. It represents the West and all its problems. Got nothing to do with religion as such, as a more cultural and lifestyle. In fact, on the Silk Road, where one of our teams works, one of the fellows had a friend come to him and say, oh, we just got Christian television at home. This is the middle of a former communist country, which is now a strongly Muslim country. And Ben pricked up his ears. He said, hang on, you've got Christian TV, as in into your home? He said, yeah. He said, well, what sort of shows are they? And he said, oh, it's things like Dallas and Baywatch and all these shows that we would say, no way am I going to watch that and claim to be a follower of Jesus. This guy had got cable TV in and was watching all this, but for him that represented the West. So to speak about being a Christian in those cultures you're going to take the wrong way, because people understand it differently. But to say I follow Jesus, there's only one Jesus. Everybody knows about Jesus. And as soon as you say in your context, in our context, I follow Jesus, people are going to say, oh, hang on. Jesus was a good guy. A lot of people will say that. They may not take him as the Son of God who died and rose again for them. It's a bit more confronting. But their initial reaction is, well, he was a good man. He was a good teacher. He said good things. And it can open the door to wider conversation. That's what this woman did. She says, oh, so let's get on and talk about this difference between where we worship God in Samaria, and you worship God, and let's get into a little bit of a discussion about that. But then we're not talking about me. But Jesus brings it back very cleverly, where he talks about, yes, you do worship in a different place, and we do too, but it is out of the Jews where this Messiah will come. She says, oh, I'm a bit clued on that. I know the Messiah will come. We talk about Messiah as well. And then Jesus says it straight out. Basically, lady, I am he. I am it. And the story goes on. As was read, the woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village, not out of fright, but she becomes an evangelist. Interesting for Baptists that the first evangelist in the Bible is a woman. But that's what we're stuck with. Because she says to the leaders of the village, the men in the village, come and see this man out at the well. He told me everything I ever did. Could he be the Messiah? She becomes convinced and says, we've been looking just like the Jews have been looking. I think I might have found him. That's a turn in the conversation, a turn of events, isn't it? But how simply Jesus made that happen. But do we then say, well, that's okay for Jesus because he's the Son of God, he's full of the Holy Spirit, so, you know, he can't do anything wrong. Of course it's going to happen. I'm not like that. And often the evil one will fill us with doubts about our walk with Jesus, that it's not as effective as it could be, and we need to hang our heads in shame. And one day we hope at least my eternal life insurance is backed up and I'll go to heaven. When Jesus says, yes, you will, that's true, your place is already reserved in heaven, so why not tell that good news to the people around you? What happens? It says the people came streaming from the village to see Jesus. This is something that happened. God was doing something in that village long before Jesus ever arrived. For some reason, Messiah might have been or must have been the topic of conversation in the village, because when the woman comes with the spark, suddenly the fire is lit and the people go out in block. It's not one or two people going, oh, silly old woman, be quiet. Or somebody says, oh, I'll come out and I've got nothing else to do, I'll come and meet him. The village ups and goes out there. We're not told how many people, but clearly it was quite a number. It was to the point where Jesus tells us a little bit later, actually stayed there for several days. The disciples go back out there, of course, and see Jesus talking to this woman saying, whoa, 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 you shouldn't be doing this, Jesus. This is not good. This is not popular. Because they were worried about Jesus' popularity all the way through his ministry. It was about popularity. It was about politics. Because their idea of Jesus was that he was going to go to Jerusalem and somehow miraculously, with all these miracles that he could do, wipe out the Romans and wipe out the corrupt religious people and set up a new kingdom. But Jesus is talking to this woman and then talks to these Samaritans. I mean, it gets worse. But something's happening. God's Spirit is doing something in that village. And over several days, many, many people decide, like Zacchaeus and others in the scriptures, in the gospels, that they will follow him. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it wonderful? One day we're going to meet those people. We're going to bump into them in heaven and say, you're one of them. What was it like? Tell me. That's fantastic. Not only did the woman believe in Jesus, she becomes his first preacher, and the many people believed in him. You see what Jesus was doing here? Having made the offer of the gift of living water, he gently unveiled his knowledge of the Samaritan woman's past. He didn't embarrass her. He'd accepted her everything. Didn't matter who she was, what she was, what the baggage that she carried. She came to Jesus and he just accepted her, as he does us. He was aware she had five husbands. He was aware that they were living in a de facto relationship now. Now, John doesn't tell us about the relationships. But what is clear is that although the men in her life had chosen to repeatedly reject her somehow, she'd ended up time and time again with another husband. But it would appear that she was a very, very lonely person. Not only that, then in a culture where there's no social security, there's no Centrelink, if you're a woman on your own, your future doesn't look very bright. A husband not only represented the possibility of love, but he became a source of income for this woman. A provision of a home, of security, of even a place in society. And unfortunately for many women, it even goes back in the book of Ruth, we talk about here about it, that if you're a woman without a husband, usually you ended up into something like prostitution in order to survive and to feed your family. So life was pretty cheap for single women. But none of these people, none of these men had left her satisfied. Think about for a moment your friends, your workmates, the neighbours that you live amongst here in Tent Hill in the district. Those that don't know Jesus but have known you for a long time. I'm not putting a guilt trip on you here. I'm seeking to encourage you. Because that's simply what we do within Baptist Mission Australia. Living amongst a group of people, learning their culture and their language, and seeking prayerfully to share Jesus at an appropriate time. Now, you've learnt the local language and you've certainly learnt the local culture. because you live here. Are we then doing what Jesus has asked us, in fact commanded us to do, to prayerfully seek people of peace? People that God's Spirit is already doing a work in, through circumstances that we may not even be aware of. But God's Spirit can make us aware sometimes of that person and the needs. It's what's occurring in our lives of people around us every day, the people we work with, we study with, we live among. People who are chasing the comforts of modern living, thinking that that will bring them satisfaction. They don't know any other way, but they're never satisfied. They're always left feeling that it's not enough, be it possessions or power or friendships, always left thirsty for more, because those things can never bring satisfaction on their own. It's not what God created us for. We can spend our whole lives chasing them and we've never made it at the end. That's how this woman felt until she met Jesus. Interesting that for her, each new man in her life meant that her position became more vulnerable and her social status diminished. She got the wrong type of reputation. She'd spent all her social capital on these relationships, and she was forced to live a life of shame, maybe not even due to her own doing, but just the circumstances she found herself in. Shunned by her community. But Jesus still came and offered her, what we might call the worst of sinners, he offered her salvation. It reveals something about Jesus that the woman tried to leverage the conversation to the more comfortable topic of religious meeting sites and all those sorts of things, but Jesus each time beautifully brought the conversation back on track. He was able to meet the deepest needs, and the Spirit clearly did a work in her life while Jesus was speaking. The wonderful thing is, friends, Jesus can do that for us and our friends. People you've known all your lives, but who don't know Jesus. She comes along and says, when Jesus said, you know, talked about a couple of things about her, and she says, "I perceive that you might be the Messiah," which is a pretty big statement. What was she getting at? Was she realising that in fact Jesus was different, or was this just a thing to try and glance it off in some other way? And then Jesus says quite clearly, but I am the Messiah. Yes, you're right. Jesus revealed that even her life was a mess, even though her life was a mess, and that she was covered in shame, he would still speak to her and offer her living water. She wasn't too far gone for God to love her, despite her reputation. Think about this. In fact, there's no such thing as a God-forsaken person. You might have watched on the news the last couple of weeks what's going on in Israel, the dreadful massacre on the 7th of October. But do you know that a Muslim, even a radical Muslim, is not a God-forsaken person? Neither is a Buddhist or an atheist or a murderer or your next-door neighbour. A rapist or a pedophile is not too far from God, because God waits for everyone. But each of us, each of those people and each of us must turn from our ways and turn to Jesus. But who's telling those people about Jesus? Who introduces him in such a way that Jesus becomes an attractive thing to look at, person to look at? So Jesus hinted to receive this water he was offering that wells up to eternal life, she needed to lay aside the old water sources that she was seeking. None of them had satisfied her. She needed to give up the search for her deepest needs in men who only disappointed. That may have been a pretty typical thing about men. But she needed to turn to that man, capital M, Jesus, who doesn't disappoint. What wonderful news this becomes. Becomes to her and became to the people in that village. She'd been searching so long for living water. Do you know there's still 42% of the world's population are searching for living water but have never ever heard about that living water is available. That's not bad. It says that almost 60% of the world has heard about Jesus. That's pretty good. But there's a lot of people who still have never heard about Jesus. And even I would suggest of some of that almost 60%, they may have heard about Jesus, but it's never been explained or showed to them in a way in which they would understand and would reach out as eagerly as this woman did to Jesus. That's what Baptist Mission Australia is doing. And that's what Daz and Bea do as they serve in Southeast Asia through Baptist Mission Australia. And they're simply seeking to build relationships among a group of people who have never heard about Jesus. Oh, they've heard about him, but it's through the Quran. And the Quran says he was a good prophet, but that's it. Leanne and I have had the privilege of travelling to northern Iraq and going on similar sorts of work where we move into refugee camps and go alongside the young English teachers there and teach them how to teach English. And in doing so, we're seeking to build relationships. And it's mainly amongst the Yazidi people, of which you're probably aware there's about 3,500 Yazidi family folk in Toowoomba now. And it's been really interesting because as we've been involved in that, and Leanne's made a number of trips over there teaching English, that she's built a relationship with both people, family members that are connected in northern Iraq and in Toowoomba. There's opportunities there. When we were over there a number of years ago, I was talking to a Yazidi man about Jesus, and he said, oh, Bob, he said, Yazidiism, which is their religion, and Christianity are so close together. It's a bit like how the Samaritan woman was talking. I said, but there's a problem, mate. There's a problem. There's a thin line between the two, and that thin line's name is Jesus. Because the way Adil saw Jesus as a good teacher and a good man and a good prophet, and the way I saw Jesus as more than that, the Son of God, is the divide, isn't it? Because the question that people will be answered when time stands still and the judgment and the books are opened will be, why should I let you into heaven? There's only one answer, isn't it? Because Jesus died for me. People need to hear that. They need to build relationships so that when they hear it, it's not just something that's told to them, but it's trusted friends that are telling them. And that's what Daz and Bea are doing. I want to show you a video. It's a fairly recent video that Daz and Bea are doing. You're probably aware that they're building a cafe. They were involved in a cafe. It was in the wrong place. It had been set up by other people. It just wasn't working out, so they decided to close that, and they're about to open a new cafe. This is a video about what's bringing a bit of an update. Thank you.
G'day everyone. We want to give you a little bit of a tour of what the cafe looks like at the moment, a bit of an update. We'll turn the camera around so that you can see what's going on. Here we go.
So coming inside here, we've got our coffee bar here at the front, which we've done the colour theme of dark green to match the green on the leaves of our logo. Over this side, we'll have some dining area, and in the corner there where the green paint is, we're going to have a little gift shop where we'll sell some local artisans' goodies, their crafts and things. And then over this side, behind the bar, we've got some bench seating area where we're going to put some cushions and some coffee tables and make a little cozy hangout zone. Then this is our kitchen back here. We deliberately chosen to have windows there so that customers can see into the kitchen, and also our staff can see each other as they're working as well, which hopefully will promote teamwork. Then coming out of the kitchen, we have got a little storage room under the stairs. This is where we'll hide our gas bottles and water gallons and things like that. And then in front of that storage room, we've got a work from cafe space where people can set up their laptops and enjoy a cup of coffee while they do some work. And then can't forget, last but not least, every cafe needs a bathroom. So we've just had the bathroom retiled as well. So it's a nice new space too, which we're really happy with how that's turned out. We're just really, really thankful with how things are turning out for the cafe, and we can't wait to show you more.
We're absolutely busting to get in and start loving people in this space. We would dearly love to get the cafe open before the end of September this year. The sooner we can open, the sooner we can begin our new ministry in here. Whilst the renovation stage is just about complete, we are still financially a long way off being able to open. We still have a lot of equipment to buy. We've got ovens, fridges, blenders, servingware, and furniture, and much, much more. As well as this, the startup capital for purchasing supplies and for staff wages. This is where we need your help. Firstly, as always, we need your prayers. Please pray that the remaining renovations and interactions with contractors and tradesmen that we've been working with so far will continue to go well. Please pray for the staff recruitment process, that our Father would lead us to the right people, people of peace, that we can work with and that share our vision. Please pray for financial provision for all the things that we need. Please pray that we will be able to find good secondhand equipment and great sales, and all great sales on new equipment. Please pray that this kingdom business would be both financially sustainable and have, above all, a great impact for His kingdom's sake. Secondly, we'd love to ask you for your financial support. Would you consider personally donating to the cafe project? Or perhaps you could head up a fundraising campaign on our behalf. We truly appreciate each and every gift. If there's a specific piece of equipment that you would like to purchase for the cafe, please do not hesitate to contact us and we can give you the details on what is needed and how you can be involved.
Thank you to everyone who has been continuing to pray for us over all this time. We are really thankful for your commitment to bring us before Father. And to those of you who have already given generously to this project, we want to say a special thank you to you. Without you, we wouldn't be up to where we are now. So thanks again, and God bless you all.
Since that video was made in middle of August, a number of things have occurred. Some of you may know that between then and now, Daz and B both contracted dengue fever. And it was Beck's second dose, and apparently it knocks you around more than twice as much second time around. And short story is that they had to be evacuated to Singapore because the regularity of the blood transfusions that are required, there was fears of infection using a local hospital. So it was quite a big decision for the organisation for them, but they recovered. When they got to Singapore, they actually recovered quite quickly, so it did make a real difference. But it does take a while now to get back to full health and strength. And we'd ask for your prayers too, that they will do that. And of course, that put everything back a bit. So when they were saying they wanted to open at the end of September, clearly that hasn't happened. But we're very excited about the way in which it has progressed and the donations that have come in, the deals that they're getting on the equipment, and God is clearly in this. So thank you for your prayer. And if you have been praying for them regularly, I hope that encourages you. But they're doing a great job, and wonderful. Did you notice Daz when he said, "We're really looking forward to loving people in this space"? Jesus went to a water well. These guys are using coffee. It's a new 21st century way of meeting people the same way. But that's the work that they're doing, very simple work. But pray for them as they put on staff. What are the hassles of the older, the previous coffee shop was that the staff weren't entirely on side, so they weren't always sure they could trust everybody. But they're really seeking to have staff in that they can trust, and also one or two interns that they might really see and know that this is God's person, because they want to get to know them and really focus on these people, the staff and the two interns, young people, not only in training them, but also in sharing their faith in Jesus. Friends, there are areas in our lives that may be preventing us from drinking Jesus' living water. Or maybe there are areas in your life that you need to lay aside in order to share your experience, your friendship and your relationship with Jesus with others. Did you notice the woman left the well a vastly different person to the person that she'd been when she'd headed out with her water jar? She was no longer concerned about seeking after her own satisfaction, because for the first time in her life, she had found real satisfaction in Jesus. And her reaction to that was that she had to tell other people. She couldn't hold it in to herself. And it changed her life so radically. There are people around us that are hurting, people around us that are seeking that living water, but they're looking in the wrong places. And like this woman, you may be the source of the answer for them in Jesus. Daz also spoke on the video about seeking the people of peace. We need to do the same. Putting that to the Holy Spirit who guides us to these very people. Making friends and committing those people to Jesus. Looking for the opportunities. I'm involved in a model train club and it's all about big boys and their toys. But they know I'm a Baptist minister and I just go there just to be God's person in that place. I don't pray over people. But it's amazing, while you're driving your train around this beautiful track with all the scenery and everything is really lovely, occasionally fellas will walk up to you. G'day Bob, how are you going? Oh, I'll stop, put the controller down, say, how's it going, Greg? Oh, it's all right, but Mum's not well at the moment. Just interesting, isn't it? Why would he come to me? But as I talk about it, and he tells me about the situation, I say, Greg, would you like me to be praying for her? Bob, that'd be great. Do you know, I've never been knocked back. In the ministry that Leanne and I were involved in for 25 years into the Australian Defence Force, I often had crusty old sergeants come to me to tell me about a problem they had with their children or their family. And when I asked if I could pray for them, do you know what? I've never been knocked back. No big deal. I wouldn't put my hand on their shoulder and pray with them right in the middle of the situation. But a fortnight later, I'd go back and say, hey, how's your mum? Oh, did you pray for her? I said I would. How's things going? Just planting seed, just watering what's been planted, seeing what God is doing. To be able to say to them, is Mum getting better? Well, actually she is. Well, I say, well, prayer works, doesn't it? Worth thinking about. And just leave it at that, just quietly, gently, as Jesus did with this woman. So here's a challenge for you. It's not a guilt trip, it's a challenge. Why not start to pray for the area that you live in? Why not pray for each other as you go into your community each day, each week? Why not do as Daz and Bea are doing and ask God that each of you may encounter a person of peace somewhere in your life? Maybe a family member, maybe a neighbour, maybe a workmate or another student. That's what Daz and Bea do in Southeast Asia, and it works. Just a person that you might be able to say, wow, I'll tell you something. You say, would you mind if over the next couple of weeks I just prayed for you? It's a great reason to go back to them in 2 weeks' time and say, hey, how's things going? Just see what God might do through you and a gentle word. We can regularly see people accepting Jesus' gift of living water. We're seeing that in Southeast Asia and in other countries around the world, and it can happen here in Australia. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for what you did in speaking with that lady who nobody else would speak to. What an example. Not hard, not difficult, but often we talk ourselves out of those things because we don't think we could be anywhere near as good as you were. When that's not really what it's about, because it's the same Holy Spirit that lives within us if we know and love you. So we ask that maybe this week there'll be just one person in the whole week that we might be able to share with. Not throw the whole lot out, not pull out the four spiritual laws, but just somebody that we might be able to encourage or offer to pray for. And we pray and bring Daz and Bea before you and ask that you will bring them to full health and strength, that you will provide so that they can fully fit out and stock and take on people to open that lovely coffee shop in that new area, and that very soon they'll be building those relationships with people and seeing people come to Jesus in a very natural way. And may we see that happening here in this district as well, for Jesus' sake. Amen.